You are listening to the Portland Christian Center podcast. This week, Pastor Ray talks about the peace of God that we get through the gospel. Here's Pastor Ray.
Well, I once again want to say thank you for joining us in this Portland Christian Center online experience. This is now 20 weeks or so that we've been in this. Surprise that it's been this long, and we expect that we have a few more weeks to go as well. We're going to give you more information as we have some updates to bring to you. But thank you for joining us today. I also want to invite you to come back, as it were, with me this Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. We're going to begin a live prayer service here at Portland Christian Center. It'll be online. And so just tune in by going to our webpage, our church webpage, and you'll find it there. And it'll be an interactive, kind of a casual get-together where I will share from my heart what God has put there for the moment. And then we'll take prayer requests and we will pray together. It won't be a very long service, but I think it's going to be a powerful way for us to connect in ways that we just can't in the normal by the normal means in this time that we're in. Well, so we're back to our series this morning on the fruit of the Spirit. And today we're going to talk about the third fruit, peace. There's love, joy, and peace. And so I'm going to ask you to turn in your Bibles, if you have one, or your Bible app, to the place in the Bible that talks about the fruit of the Spirit, and that's in Galatians chapter 5. Paul enumerates all of the fruit of the Spirit, the ninefold fruit of the Spirit in chapter 5. And so I'm going to ask you, if you would, to look with me at verses 22 through 25. And in fact, I want us to read these verses together. I want you to read it out loud with me, if you will. I've been doing all the work so far. You've not done anything. So now this is your opportunity to get involved in this message. So just kidding. But let's do this. Let's honor the word of the Lord by reading it out loud together. It's going to be on the screen. And so let's read it slowly. Let's just absorb it as best we can as we prepare our hearts to allow the Holy Spirit to minister to us as we look into his word. And it says this, every voice, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with his passions and desires. So since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Now, these verses promise that as we live by and as we keep in step with the Spirit, now, let me just kind of take a time out here and talk a little bit about what Paul means by that. What does he mean when he says live by the Spirit or keep in step with the Spirit? Well, Paul has an overarching phrase that he often uses that really include these two ideas that we just mentioned, and that's called Spirit-filled living. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, Paul says, be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. Now, Paul uses a word there for filled that's different than the Greek word that's used in the book of Acts chapter 2 when the first disciples were filled with the Holy Spirit. They were baptized in the Spirit. And the word that's used in Acts is a word that suggests kind of a passive experience. In other words, the Holy Spirit came on them and they were filled with the Spirit. They were the passive recipients of the active work of the Holy Spirit. But when Paul talks about being filled with the Spirit, he uses another Greek word that has a very active sense to it. And the sense is this, that we yield by daily obedience to the Holy Spirit. We yield our lives in daily obedience, in moment by moment obedience to what the Spirit is doing in our lives. And so that's what Paul is talking about here, that as we yield our lives in daily obedience to the Holy Spirit, he will conform us to the likeness of Christ. Jesus' character will become our character. I mean, isn't that amazing that Christ's character will become my character and yours? Now, I want you to think about that. We will be increasingly distinguished by love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Those things that distinguish Jesus. And as that happens, we will begin to live the same extraordinary kind of life that Jesus lived when he walked this planet. Now Jesus was extraordinary, not only because he was the Son of God, that's a very important part of our theology, our doctrine, he was God the Son, But he was also a man. He was the perfect God, man, fully God, fully man. But because as a man, he perfectly embodied that ninefold fruit of the Spirit, he lived an extraordinary life. Now again, let me refer back to something Matt said last week, Pastor Matt, when he talked about the ninefold fruit of the Spirit. Interestingly, Paul doesn't talk about this as the nine fruits of the Spirit, but it's one and the same. It just has nine facets to this fruit. And as you think about that, I've just kind of came to me this week, as you try to define what each of these means, really these aspects of the fruit of the Spirit are defined by the rest of the fruit. In other words, one fruit is defined by the other fruit, one and the same fruit. So love really is defined, is clarified by joy, peace, patience, kindness, and so on. Joy is defined by love and peace and patience and kindness and so forth. And so peace would be the same. It's defined by the rest of these nine facets of the fruit of the Spirit. And when we begin to embody that, as we yield to the Spirit, as he begins to produce those in our lives, that same extraordinary living that Jesus experienced awaits us as we cultivate this fruit. And that's the Bible's full intention. That's the Bible's full expectation for you and for me. Now, specifically, as it relates to this fruit of peace, Jesus, the perfect embodiment of the fruit of the Spirit, Jesus was known as the Prince of Peace. That's what distinguished him. So in light of what I just said, that the fruit of the Spirit in us is really the expression of Christ's character, in light of that, does that distinguish you? Does peace distinguish your life? Does it distinguish your inner life, your relationships, your lifestyle, your politics, your social media presence? Are you a person of peace in those areas? That's the question. Are you a person of peace? Now, I suspect that if you're like me, you and the Holy Spirit have some peace cultivating to do. Peace with God, peace on the inside of you, peace in your relational world, a peace in your public presentation. We have some peace cultivating to do. So, how do you do that? How do you do that? Well, I want to talk about that today. How can you cultivate this fruit of peace? Well, it begins with understanding what peace is and what peace is not. So what does Paul mean when he talks about this fruit of peace? Now, I love the story I heard years ago of the mother who had just had her fifth baby. It was an unexpected surprise. And she had a fifth baby, and the playpen that she had had for the other four kids was now worn out. They gave it away. And so this mom's friends gave her a playpen as a gift. Well, weeks later, this tired mom wrote a note of thanks to these friends. And she said, listen, the playpen is great. I get in it every afternoon and the kids can't get near enough to bug me. I just get in there and I read and I relax. Well, that's pretty close really to what the Bible means when it talks about the fruit of peace. Peace is a state of freedom from anxiety, worry, and inner turmoil. Peace, biblical peace, is tranquility of mind. It's calm in the storm. It's like living perpetually, if you will, in the eye of the hurricane. It's living in the eye of the hurricane. Now, the Greek word for peace is the word eirene. Eirene. We get the name Irene from it. If you're named Irene, you should be a peaceful person. If you're Irene and you're not peaceful, you should change your name. We use the word eirenic, which means peaceful. And in the New Testament world, that word eirene meant literally to bind something together, to bind it together. It's to hold it all together. Have you ever known a person and you say of them, man, they hold it all together? When life is falling apart, they just seem to have it all together. That's biblical peace. When life is falling apart, you're holding it together. That's biblical peace. Now, I want you to understand what peace is not, what biblical peace is not. It is not the absence of conflict. Oh, I wish that were true, but that's not what it is. And that's good to know, since conflict is an inescapable reality of human life. Researchers say that in the nearly 6,000 years of history that have been recorded, human history, the world has known non-consecutively, only 292 years apiece. I mean, think about that. In nearly 6,000 years, we've only had 5% of that spread throughout those 6,000 years where there has been peace. And during this period, there have been almost 15,000 recorded wars in which 3.64 billion people have died. That's almost half the population of the current world. Think about that. That many people have died in war or because of war. So if your definition of peace is no conflict, if you're a peace junkie, if you're a peacenik, then you're never going to have peace. If it's the absence of conflict, you're never going to have peace. Now, the kind of peace the Holy Spirit will produce in us isn't dependent on the absence of conflict. A great Christian philosopher passed away not too long ago by the name of Dallas Willard gave what I think is probably the best definition of the peace of God or biblical peace. And this is what he said: the peace of God is the settled assurance that because of God's care and competence, this world is a perfectly safe place for me to be, although it doesn't always look like it. The settled assurance that because of God's care and competence, this world is a perfectly safe place for me to be, even if it doesn't look like it. And when you settle that in your heart and in your mind, that God is all-powerful, that God is in control of everything, that His eye is upon you, and that He cares for you, He's looking out for you, then you will live in the peace of God, the peace of God, that this world is a safe place for you, even though it doesn't always look like it. And that's the way that God wants you to live. That's His desire for you, that you live in that kind of settled assurance, that kind of peace. So again, how do we cultivate that? Well, we got to start by understanding what peace is and what peace isn't. But let me give you four additional ways to cultivate that kind of peace, the peace of God. And here's where it starts. Number one, by recognizing that God is the only source of true and lasting peace. Oh, that's so foundational. If you're going to enter into an experience of sustainable peace, you got to understand that God is the only true and lasting source of your peace. We can't produce it and we can't sustain it. That won't happen on our own. We don't have the ability to do that. It only comes from God and from being in right standing with God. And that's why all of the efforts that humanity has put into peace haven't worked. It doesn't last. The peace rallies, the peace marches, the peace organizations, as well-intended as they are, and I'm not putting them down, but they don't last. They don't produce lasting peace in the world and in our lives because they don't recognize that it comes from God and from being in right standing with God. Now, throughout the Bible, God is referred to as the God of peace. Peace is what identifies and defines God, even though He is never very far from conflict. God is in the middle of a cosmic conflict, a constant cosmic conflict, a battle with Satan for control of the created order. C.S. Lewis said it this way, that every square inch and every split second is claimed by God and counterclaimed by Satan. And yet God is not ruffled by it. And this God of peace, this God who is peace, will give you His peace. That's His promise to you. I want you to listen to these verses where God has promised you His peace. Psalm chapter 29, verse 11. It says, God blesses His people with peace. That's the blessing of the Lord. He wants to bless you with His peace. Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I don't give to you as the world gives. The world gives a peace that is shallow, that's temporal. But Jesus says, I give you something that's going to last. So therefore, don't let your heart be troubled and don't be afraid. You don't have to be in turmoil. You don't have to live in fear because Jesus has given you His peace. The Apostle Paul said in Ephesians 2:14 that Jesus Himself is our peace. Jesus Himself is peace to us. And then Paul said in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 16, he said, and he offered this prayer. He said, may the Lord of peace Himself give you His peace no matter what happens. So the only sustainable peace comes from the God of peace through the Prince of Peace, who will produce the fruit of peace in your life through the Spirit of Peace, the Holy Spirit. So here's where it begins. You've got to recognize the source of true peace, the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So, number two, don't pursue peace. Pursue the source of peace. Don't pursue peace, but get connected. Pursue the source of peace. The peace of God will come as a natural result of the relationship that we nurture with God. As we talked about on the first week of this series, as we abide in Christ, as we stay connected to the vine, Jesus Christ, this will flow, fruit will be produced in our lives. And so our focus needs to be on the source of peace and not the byproduct, which is peace. It's the Lord of peace, Paul said, who gives us peace. You know, pursuing peace will always leave us disappointed, especially when turmoil still rules the day. But pursuing the Prince of Peace, Paul says in Colossians 3:15, will keep the peace of Christ ruling in our hearts, ruling. That means that it issues the orders. It calls the shots. It referees between our anxieties and our ability to stay calm. The peace of Christ will rule in our hearts. One of my favorite verses in the Old Testament is in Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3. And here's what the prophet said. Speaking of God, he said, "You will keep in perfect peace all whose trust is in you, whose thoughts are fixed on you." The King James Version said, "Those whose minds are stayed on thee." It's an interesting word in the Hebrew for fixed or for stayed. It's the word samach. And it meant literally to prop yourself up by, or to put your full weight upon something, in this case, God. To put your full weight upon God, to prop yourself up with God for your protection and for your security, for your provision and for your security. And so that leads me to ask you a question. We're in very tumultuous times right now. This is crazy. We've never been down this road before. Life is really different and is really stressed right now. And so let me ask you, during this time, what are you leaning upon? What are you leaning upon for your provision and for your security? Are you leaning upon God or the government? God or government? Where is the weight of the world? Is it on your shoulders or is it on His? Are you staying up at night worrying about what tomorrow will bring? Listen, when you live in the peace of God, when you fix your mind, when you stay your mind on Him, you don't have to stay up worrying one single minute about tomorrow. In fact, you could say to God, "God, you never sleep nor slumber, your word says. And since you're in charge of all things and you care about me, I'm going to go ahead and go to sleep and I'm going to let you stay up worrying about this. You can fix this problem for me." By the way, God never worries. He's got this and He's got you. So let Him take care of it. I love this verse. This was a favorite verse from our late Pastor Emeritus Tom Ming. Psalm 119, 165. It says, "Those who love your laws have great peace of heart and mind, and they do not stumble." Those who love the Word of God have great peace of heart and of mind. What a powerful verse. And therein is a powerful key to cultivating the fruit of peace in your life. I want to issue a challenge that I think will, in fact, I guarantee will increase by a great degree the peace quotient in your life right now. And that is during these difficult times of COVID-19 and cultural conflict and the political turmoil that's going on right now. I want to challenge you to spend more time in the Word of God by far than you do watching the news or on social media. You know, we have 24/7 news these days, which most of it is really not news. It's commentary. It's editorializing. It's selling a point of view so that you will stay tuned in. And the way they do that is by doing the most dramatic thing that they possibly can to get you to keep watching so that they can stay in business. Social media is just rife with junk, with anger, with frustration, with falsehood. And both the news and social media are just leech the peace out of your life. So to a ratio of at least 10 to 1, I would challenge you to be in the Word of God as opposed to those other sources of information. Now, does that mean that you need to stick your head in the sand or go on a social media or news fast? I don't know. Maybe you should. I'm not saying that, but I would say that you need to back away from your source of news and your source of social entertainment and replace that with much more time meditating on the Word of God, memorizing the Word of God, ministering the Word of God to other people and mastering it in your life. If you do that, as the Psalm says, if you love God's Word, you will have great peace of heart and mind, and nothing will cause you to stumble. Choose God's Word over everything else. And then number three, view the world through the lens of God's sovereignty. What a skill this is. It's a peace-producing skill. That we would learn to view all of life, view the world, view what's happening through the lens of God's sovereignty. Filter everything that you see, everything that you hear, everything in life through God's unstoppable plan for the ages. See, God's got a plan, and He's working His plan, and He will bring it to pass. That's always been true of God and always will be true of God, and it's true right now. God has an unstoppable plan, and He's got an unstoppable plan not only for the ages, but for your life as well. So learn to filter everything in life through that. Job 42, verse 2 says, I know that you can do all things. Listen to this. No purpose of yours can be thwarted. No purpose of God can be thwarted. Romans 8:28. For we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him and are the called according to His purpose. It's unstoppable. God is in control. So don't let stuff steal your peace. Don't let bad stuff steal your peace. You know, years ago, back in the late 80s, I became friends with a young married couple, a sharp couple they were. They were both Ivy League educated, very successful in their careers, and they were passionate Christ followers. Their names are Matt and Helen. Well, Helen was an executive for a high-profile financial firm, and she had to travel around the country, and she boarded a plane one day to travel from Denver to Chicago. And in mid-flight, that airplane lost its hydraulics, and it crashed in Sioux City, Iowa. Dramatic footage of that has been caught on film. You could check it out on the internet. It is just a horrific crash. And unfortunately, over 100 people died in that crash. But miraculously, many, many more people than that survived, including Helen. Before the crash, the flight attendant who was sitting in the jump seat just right in front of Helen commented about Helen's peaceful countenance, her expression. The pilot had come on and said, I'm not going to kid you folks. This is going to be rough. We're going to have to ditch the plane. This is going to be a crash landing. And so everyone on the plane knew what was going to happen. And this flight attendant was just marveling at, while everyone else was panicking, that Helen was so calm and tranquil. And so Helen was able to share with this anxious attendant how her life was totally in God's hands. And if she lived or if she died, God was in control of her life. If she lived, great. If she died, great, because heaven awaited. Either way, Helen couldn't lose. Well, leaning into God's sovereignty will allow you to exude God's peace, even when all hell is breaking loose around you. I want to give you some ways, some steps, if you will, to affirm God's control in your life on a daily basis that will strengthen that perspective, the kind of perspective that Helen had, the perspective of God's sovereignty. So let me give you six ways to affirm God's sovereignty in your life. Number one, refuse to be resentful. Refuse to be resentful. Holding on to hurt leads to dwelling on things that make you unhappy rather than embracing them as God's tools to make you holy. You know, stuff happens. Bad things happen to you. People cause hurt in your life, and it's painful. I'm not diminishing that. But if you hold on to that, you're going to miss something very important, that God works all things for your good if you're called according to his purpose. And what he is working in your life is the character of Christ. He does that to conform you to the image of his son. And so those things that happen to us aren't to make us unhappy. They're to make us holy. And when we realize that, when we embrace that, when we refuse to give in to a resentful spirit, we will be happy because we know that God is at work. Number two, refuse to live in the past. Similarly, refuse to live in the past. A preoccupation with old mistakes leads to anxiety about tomorrow's potential. Let go of the past. God has redeemed it. God is in the future. Look forward to what God wants to do in your life. Number three, refuse to waste energy on the things that you can't change. Don't waste an ounce of energy on stuff that you cannot change. There was a book written many, many years ago, a great book, called The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. And in that book, the author talked about these two circles that surround our lives. The first circle that directly surrounds us is what he called our sphere of influence, our circle of influence. And then the outer circle around that is what he called our circle of concern. In that circle of concern, we're concerned about those things, but we can't control them. We can't change them. So it would be a waste of energy to even try. But in our sphere of influence, we can exert effort to bring about change. Your circle of concern is above your pay grade. It's important to you. It affects you, but it's above your pay grade. But it's not above God's. You let God take care of that while you take care of what you've been assigned, your sphere of influence. Number four, refuse to withdraw when life gets messy. And life is really messy right now. We're living in this age of pandemic lockdown. There's cultural upheaval, racial strife and divisions. There's rioting in our major cities in my city of Portland. I mean, there's a political season that is just getting increasingly vitriolic, awful. Life is really chaotic right now. And you might be tempted to withdraw from that. But did you know that chaos most often is the birthplace of divine life? God does some of his best out of the chaos. He brings order, he brings purpose, and he even brings beauty out of it. So stay engaged when life gets messy. I think we have an amazing opportunity right now, speaking of peace, in this current situation that we live in. We have an amazing opportunity to be peacemakers, instead of provocateurs. And so I want to challenge you, especially in the next few weeks, to really watch, guard your political discourse. Watch the things that you say. Watch your social media content. Watch your putting out there, how you're responding on social media. Do what Paul said in Colossians chapter 4, verse 6. He said, make sure that your conversations are always gracious and sensible. Friends, this is an opportunity more than ever before for us to be gracious and sensible in our conversations. So don't disengage and don't get involved in all of the polluted, corrupt stuff that's going on and having those kinds of conversations that don't lead people to peace. Be a peacemaker. Be a peacemaker. Engage in bringing peace to your world. Number five, cultivate the virtue of humor. Cultivate the virtue of humor. Laugh at life. A lot, laugh at life, especially when it gets hard. Learn to laugh at life. Why can you laugh at life? Because God wins. Remember, he's sovereign. God wins. He has the final laugh, the last laugh. You know, apparently in the Greek Orthodox tradition, the day after Easter is devoted to telling jokes. I like that. I think we ought to do that as well. Well, why do they do that? Because they believe that the resurrection was God's ultimate joke that he played on Satan. Satan thought that he had done away with God's son, and yet he came out of the tomb and he said, the joke's on you, Satan. The greatest demonstration of God's sovereign control. And when we laugh at life when it's hard, we're reminding ourselves that God is the victor and we're included in his victory. Laugh a lot. And then number six, find something bigger than yourself to live for. Find something bigger than you to invest your life in. I mean, don't allow yourself to be so focused on you and on the now, just this moment, because that will lead you from peace. It'll create more anxiety and turmoil in your life. But find something bigger than you, something eternal that you can invest your time and your energy and your resources in. That will lead to the peace of God. That will remind you of the sovereignty of God, that it counts because God is at work and he's going to use what you do throughout all eternity. Now, listen, looking through the lens of God's sovereignty over the world and over your everyday life, his sovereignty over you will cultivate the fruit of peace within you. It really will. And then finally, 4, refuse to wrestle with the peace-destroying issues in your life by releasing them to God in thankful prayer. Refuse to wrestle. Lift your needs to God and lace it with thanksgiving. The most well-known verse on this is Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Many of you have memorized this. I want to read it again. In fact, if you know this, say it with me. It says, say it out loud. It says, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Don't worry about anything. Pray about everything. Give thanks for all things. And the peace of God, the all-surpassing peace, the peace that passes human understanding, will guard your heart and it will protect your mind in Christ Jesus. You know, when things are causing turmoil in our lives, Paul said, take them to God. Turmoil is a sure indication that you need to go immediately to God and offer prayer, not just any kind of prayer, but prayer that is dominated by thanks. So why does he say that? Well, because gratitude releases God in your spirit. Let me say that again. Gratitude releases God into your spirit. Thanksgiving unleashes God's plan. It unleashes God's provision. It unleashes God's peace in the particular things that are causing you turmoil. But that would be the one takeaway. If you're going to take only one thing away from this message, take this truth away, that gratitude produces peace. A thankful heart produces a peaceful heart. Listen, when you are in right relationship with God, let me summarize. When you're in right relationship with the God of peace, when you're fixing your thoughts on him, when you're looking at all of life through his sovereign control, and when you're practicing gratitude, then you will have peace. I guarantee it. More importantly, God guarantees that you will have peace. The settled assurance that because of God's care and God's competence, this world is a perfectly safe place for you to be, even if it doesn't seem like it. You will have peace. Linda and I were talking this week about our lives over the last 3 years, and as many of you know, our life has been surrounded by turmoil. I lost 4 family members to death. On top of that, as many of you know, most of you know, Linda had a heart attack and had to experience life-saving surgery. By all accounts, she should have died. Now we went through a lot of transition on the staff of this church, and now we're living in this time of turmoil, this season of COVID and quarantine and upheaval and political nastiness. And our testimony is that through all of this, we have lived in peace. God has kept us in his peace. And I'll tell you why. Not because we're so awesome, but because we've practiced these things that I've talked about. I know this works. You practice these things and God will keep you in his perfect peace because you have put your trust in him. You will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you. I want you to have God's peace. And so I want to pray to that end right now. So I'm going to ask you, if you would, to just bow your heads and close your eyes. Just shut yourself in from the distractions that might be around you and just listen to God in this moment. God the Holy Spirit is working in your life right now, and He wants to speak with you. He wants to be the mediator of God's peace, of God's provision, of that sense of security and tranquility that God will give to you. And so just open your heart up to the work of the Holy Spirit. If you've never received the Prince of Peace, then you will never have peace, not now and not in eternity. So peace that you desire starts with peace with God. I want to pray for you to accept Jesus Christ, maybe for the first time, maybe to recommit your life to that right now, to give your heart to Jesus, recommit it to Him. Whatever the case, today is the day for you to say, Jesus, I surrender to you. Come into my heart and be the Prince of Peace to me. Give me peace, right standing with God. If you've never done that, I want to pray for you in just a moment. And if you're in turmoil, maybe you already know Jesus as the Prince of Peace, but you're living in turmoil right now. You're upset about many things. You're frustrated with what's going on. Maybe in your inner life, your relationships, when you look at the world, there is no peace. God wants to baptize you in His peace today. He'll give you a start, and then He's going to empower you to begin to practice these things that I've talked about. And I want to pray for you as well. So let's pray. Let's pray. So Father, I want to lift anyone and everyone who is watching this broadcast today. And I pray that a revelation of your peace, I pray that a revelation of the Prince of Peace, a fresh revelation would be granted to them, everyone hearing my voice. I pray for people who have never received you as Lord and Savior, who've never asked you to come into their life to forgive their sins and to be their Lord, to be their Prince of Peace. Even right now, I pray that they would just surrender their heart to you, confess their sins to you, invite you to be God and Lord, Master and Savior of their lives. And Lord, as they do that, I pray that you would lift a burden from them right now, and I pray that you would replace that with the lightness of your peace that will come into their heart and will guard them in Christ Jesus. Lord, I want to pray for anyone who's listening to my voice, who is not experiencing the peace of God right now. Perhaps they already know you, they're walking with you, but something has robbed them of their peace. And Lord, there's a lot to rob us of our peace these days, but I pray, sovereign God, would you lift the burden from their heart? And would you replace it with your peace? As we lift this prayer to you, as we say, thank you, God, because you're at work and you're producing the best thing in us, and that is the character of Christ. Through all of these things that might make us unhappy, you're using them to make us holy. So God, we just say thank you for that. And Lord, I pray that as we do that, that you would hold up your end of the bargain. You said if we will present to you our needs through prayer and with thanksgiving, that your peace, the peace of God that passes all understanding, would come into our hearts and our minds, guarding us in Christ Jesus. And so Lord, I just want to say thank you, because I know that you're doing that. I know that you're doing that for your people. Oh Lord, we just thank you and we praise you. You are our peace, and you bless your people with peace. So we thank you, we praise you, and we pray in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
Thanks again for listening to the Portland Christian Center podcast. If you would like to hear more teachings or find out more information about our church, please visit pcctoday.com.